Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Amen. Everybody struggles. There are struggles in life. Some struggle more than others. There are certain things we can do that prevent the struggles. There are things that we do that increase the struggles. And we want to talk about that today because the Lord has given us the ability. He tells us over and over that we triumph in all things through Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. And yet we still struggle. Some people struggle with finances. Some people struggle with relationships. Some people struggle with keeping a job, finding a job, keeping a job, holding a job. Some people struggle with showing up for a job. Some people struggle showing up on time for a job. Some people struggle at night trying to sleep. Some people struggle, that I already mentioned, with physical disabilities or physical breakdowns in their bodies. Some people, I think I've run out of struggles, but there's a lot of things we struggle, right? I'm sure you can name things I didn't even name. We want to look at Joseph today. And the reason we're going to look at Joseph is because God gave Joseph, or God had a plan for Joseph's life. And he has a plan for every one of our lives. We are no different from Joseph. God has a plan for all of us. He's not a respecter of persons. He loves us all equally. And he has a plan. I know the plans I have for you, he says. Plans to bless, plans to prosper. And that's in Jeremiah. So we know that. Let's start there. He has a plan. You may feel like you're just out there wandering. God has a plan. If you don't know the plan, you may be wandering. If you know the plan, you can be directed in that. So we're not going to talk about whether you know the plan or not. We're going to establish that you have a plan. God has a plan. Joseph had a dream. God gave his plan to Joseph in a dream. You may have that plan just growing in your heart, in your spirit. You may have that plan in a dream. You may have that plan in a vision. You may have that plan because the Spirit of God speaks it to you. It's something that you are called to do. Others may not understand the plan because it's not their plan. God has a plan for each and every one. We don't see a great ministry and say, oh, that's what I want to do. That's my plan. If God speaks that to you, remember after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter and John are there with him. And the Lord is saying to Peter, follow me, follow me, follow me, directly to Peter. And Peter says, what about him? Meaning John. And Jesus basically says, whatever I say to him is between he and I. I have a plan for him. You follow me. I'm addressing you. That's basically, that's not the way it appears in King James, but that's basically what Jesus is saying. You focus on the plan I have for you. Because there are going to be plenty of struggles to achieve that plan. Here in Genesis 37, Joseph dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph was 17, all right? So he's 17 when he gets this plan. I'm going to skip to verse 3 now. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. Joseph dreamed a dream. He told his brothers. They hated him even more. Now we know the dream. The dream is that everybody's going to bow down to him. All right. My question is this. He already knows his brothers don't like him. He already knows his brothers are jealous of him. Why did he tell his dream to his brothers? You see, right there, some of his struggles were because of his mouth. Some of his struggles were because of what he was saying. Now, we may not be saying things that antagonize the people around us, although we may be as well. But we may not be doing that. But yet, the concept here is that the words of our mouth can increase the struggles in our lives. We are to be speaking God's powerful word of God. His word. God's powerful word. When we speak the word of God, that may cause jealousy in others. It may. But we are always on sure ground when we are speaking the word, speaking the promises, speaking it in a positive way. Rather than telling, like, here's an example. When I was in the hospital, Sibley Hospital up in D.C., and you all know the story. Most of you online know the story. I was diagnosed with a deadly cancer. And about 6 o'clock in the evening on a Monday evening after failed surgery, it was supposed to be laparoscopic minor surgery. It turned into major, and even then they could not get the cancer. They got some of it out, couldn't get it all out. The doctor said that it's a very serious, very advanced stage. We cannot remove it all. We must treat you with massive radiation and massive chemotherapy. Time is of the essence, but you're too weak. We can't do anything until we strengthen you. And that night, the doctors came in the evening. That night, somebody came into my room. I awakened, but I didn't see anyone. And I heard the verses, 2 verses. The Spirit of God spoke to me. You shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of God, for I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. I knew I was healed. I didn't feel it. I mean, I was still in great pain. Nothing changed in my body, but I knew I got my healing. The next day, Tuesday, the surgeons come in. They introduce me to the radiation doctor. Now, do you think I looked at that radiation doctor and said, hey, don't worry about it. No need for you to trouble yourself because God spoke to me last night, and this is what he said, and I'm healed. I didn't do that. I didn't say anything to her. It was a female. The other 2 doctors were male, the surgeons. I didn't say that. But I kept holding fast to those scriptures, saying them over and over and over and over. I knew I'd been healed. I knew, and I was just waiting until it was revealed to them. I knew that my healing would be revealed to them. It didn't happen on Wednesday, and I didn't tell them Wednesday. I didn't get this attitude like, well, you guys, you know, I know you know what you're talking about somewhat, but I choose to believe the report of the Lord. And, you know, we know those things. We say those things among ourselves. These are unbelievers. These are surgeons and radiation doctors. I'm not going to say that to them.
We did have a big poster that I placed up in
yes,
your room.
Yes, miracle though. Man. We did have that. They knew we were praying and believing. Thursday, they came to me and said, there's been a remarkable turn of events. This is a head scratcher that we don't understand, but the cancer is no longer in your body. So they said it to me. There's nothing wrong with us sharing, speaking what God has spoken to us, the promise of God, the blessing of God, the revelation of God to people who can receive it and understand it. I share with you. When God gives me a revelation, I share it with you. But when we're talking about, well, Jesus put it this way, not to cast our pearls before swine. I don't like that. That's a little touchy for me. I mean, but I know what he's saying. We don't just say anything to anybody. Joseph's struggles began when he said his dream to his brothers that he already knew hated him. Why did he do that? Did he want to rub it in a little bit? You know, you guys can say what you want, but one day you're going to be down on your knees bowing to me. Maybe, maybe not. In any case, the words of our mouth can cause some struggles in our lives, and the reverse, the words of our mouth can give us the victory in struggles. Let's keep going here. The brothers had him sold into slavery. Why? Jealousy. So one of the things he had to struggle against was other people's jealousy. Have you ever had that on a job where you are struggling against other people's jealousy on your job because you show up on time? You work well. You work hard. Have you ever heard your coworker say, slow down, slow down. You're making us look bad. Don't work so hard. You're making us look bad. And they become jealous of you because you begin, maybe you get a raise, maybe you get a promotion, maybe you get a commendation from your job. And they become jealous of you. And then they begin to try to go behind your back to get rid of you somehow. This is what happened to Joseph. Jealousy. So one of his struggles was against other people's jealousy. And he had to learn how to deal with that. He didn't learn at that point. He lost the battle. He got sold into slavery. But God was orchestrating it all. You see, someone else's jealousy is not going to stop God's dream from coming to pass in our lives. It may delay it, but it won't stop it. So if the dream that God has given you has been delayed, just hold fast the confession of your faith, because delay is not defeat. It is coming. If it's from God, it is coming in Jesus' name. Then, you know the story. I'm not reading the whole story because we all know the story of Joseph. He's in slavery, and when he's sold into slavery, that takes him further away from the dream in the natural, but closer to the dream in the spirit. This is what's so amazing, because we know from hindsight, we know the whole story, that where is Joseph going to be on the throne and where are his brothers going to bow down to him? In Egypt. We know that. They don't know that. So in the natural, the brothers are trying to get rid of Joseph to make sure that dream never happens. Joseph, he's getting sold into slavery, going down to Egypt. He's thinking he's getting further and further away from the dream of God, but he's not giving up on it. In the spirit, however, what looks like the end is actually the beginning. God is getting him right where he wants him. So the circumstances of our lives in the natural may indicate that we're getting further from our dream, but that's why we need to have revelation in the spirit, so that we can tell where we are located in the map of God's plan. In the map of God's plan, we may be progressing to the fulfillment of the dream. In the map of the world, it looks like we're getting further away from it. He gets down to Egypt. We know what happens in Genesis 39 now. Genesis 39, and he is sold and bought by Potiphar. Potiphar is wealthy. Joseph performs excellently. He is commended by his owner, who gives him the run of his house. He doesn't even care what's going on in the house, because Joseph is an able manager. He is trustworthy. And he proves himself. Joseph is still holding on to his dream, but he is doing excellently wherever he is found. There's a key. Before we get to the fulfillment of the dream, what your hand finds to do, do it well. Do what your hand finds to do well. Maybe your dream. Here's an example. Have you ever met anybody? Not around here so much, you wouldn't meet people like this, but you might. And they're a wait person, I mean a waitress or a waiter at your table. And you just chat with them a little bit and they say, well, this is my day job because what I really want to do is be an actor or an actress. This is my day job, but at night I design websites. This is my day job. So they are not what they are doing, but they're doing that well in order to achieve their dream. This is what we need to translate into the spirit. Wherever we find ourselves, even though we may not be living the dream of God, we do it well. We do it as unto the Lord. We live it as unto the Lord, knowing that we're going to hold fast to that dream, and that dream will come to pass. Potiphar's wife begins to cast her eye on Joseph, a nice, handsome young guy, kind of like me. And so she casts her eye. Yeah, why do I always get laughs and not amens on that line? You know, whenever I use that line, I never get these amen, big hearty shout of amen. I always get laughter. Pardon me? Oh, Miss Laverne's not here. She wouldn't shout amen. Are you kidding? She'd laugh harder than anybody. Yeah, Pastor Ray Beth says maybe that's like Joseph in your dreams. All right. Well, I can dream. I'm dreaming. I dream big. So, in Genesis 39, Joseph, what happens is because of his excellence, he is in power. He's empowered by Potiphar. He is empowered to run like a manager the household estate. Potiphar is high up in the government or the civil service or in the society, let's say. And Joseph is empowered by him to run his household and to run his affairs. And what happens is that his wife, if he had fallen for that and been with Potiphar's wife, he would cede his power to the wife. She would have power over him, because at any time she could go to her husband and say, you know, this Joseph guy, you know what's going on? Which is what she did, even though he was innocent. So now we see a power struggle. When there is a power struggle in the spirit realm or in the natural, it seeks to derail us from our dream. The enemy and every one of his demons that fell, they hate the fact that God has a plan for us. Now, we know God has a plan for them, too. They just don't like their plan. And they are absolutely determined to overpower us by getting us to agree with them, by getting us to be involved with them, with their suggestion, to betray God for whatever they're promising. This is what Potiphar's wife was doing. Betray Potiphar for whatever I am promising. And thereby, the power is ceded from Joseph to her. We are not to lose our power. You know, if you begin to get involved in the things of sin, do you have as much power in the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus still has all the power. It's just not available to you because you've ceded it to something else. Something else has power over our life. So here, Joseph is smart enough to know, I am empowered by Potiphar. I am not going to give that power up for sin. However, the wife lies about him, and what happens to Joseph? He gets thrown into prison. This seems like a setback in the natural, but once again, God is behind the scenes and using this. So even if circumstances of life go from bad to worse, it does not necessarily mean God is not functioning, operating, and manipulating the circumstances to bring your dream to pass. What we see in the natural is not what God sees in the spirit. And we, if we can have the eyes of our understanding open, we will see what he's doing in the spirit realm and hold fast the confession of our faith, knowing he's bringing it to pass. It may not look like it in the natural, but in the spirit, that's where it counts. So what happens is Genesis 40, the Spirit of God separates Joseph, even though he's in prison, separates him how? Through wisdom. So now Joseph is a slave and a prisoner, and yet through his wisdom, he is separated. He is separated by the jailer who puts the whole prison in his power. He's separated by the wisdom of God because he can interpret dreams through the Spirit of God. But it doesn't seem to do anything for him because everybody forgets about him. He's got his place in the prison. The prison guard can't release him, but he can use him to run the prison. But the two, one of them, of course, was killed. The two prisoners were killed, and he tells their dreams. The other one forgets about him. The world may forget about us. The world may kick us to the curb. The people, and this is what happens when we try to bring about the dream of God through other people. How many times have any of you ever prayed, Lord, just speak to this person. If you just speak to them, they can do thus and so, and praise God, I'll have it. I'll have that breakthrough. Just speak to this. That is trusting another person for the plan of God in your life. And they'll forget you. People will forget us. That's the example that we have here. Joseph said, when you get out, remember me. When he got out, he forgot about him. But God didn't. God didn't. So he gave a dream to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is exhausting himself trying to figure this dream out. He is exhausting the wise men, the priests of Egypt, trying to get this dream interpreted. And then the man remembered. The Lord will set up the circumstance to bring about the revelation that we need. The circumstance presented itself, and the man remembered Joseph, and so Pharaoh said, well, let's bring him out. I don't care if he's a prisoner. I don't care if he's a slave. I don't care if he's not Egyptian. If he was able to tell your dreams, bring him out here because that's what I need. The Lord set the circumstance up. He comes out. He tells the dream. He tells the Pharaoh, and you know, when I teach about Joseph, I'm not teaching about Joseph today. I also go on to say that Joseph was a person of strength of character because Pharaoh did not ask him for advice. Pharaoh asked him for the dream. Joseph doesn't lose a breath, doesn't even take a breath. He goes right from the dream to giving Pharaoh the strongest, most powerful ruler on the face of the earth at that time. He gives Pharaoh advice. He says, look, man, this is what you need to do. And it goes, doesn't say it like that. This is what you need to do. Pharaoh is astounded. All of his other advisors cower before him. They're afraid to say anything. They can't tell the dream, but they're not going to say, you know, Pharaoh, this is what you need to do. Joseph's got nothing to lose. Joseph's got the power of God. Joseph at that moment recognizes that when he was sold into slavery, he thought that it was a setback. No, it wasn't. When he got cast into prison, he thought it was a setback. No, it wasn't. That God used all of that to bring him to this moment, and he was going to take that moment in the power of God. So he stepped up to the plate and he said, Pharaoh, this is what you need to do. And Pharaoh was astounded, amazed, and instantly made him prime minister of Egypt. Now, that doesn't just happen. Any of you, you know, like in the last week, before, since we were here Sunday, any of you made prime minister of some country? I didn't think so. It happened by the power of God. And we know that later on when the famine happened, his brothers come, not knowing it's Joseph, and what do? They bow down to him. And the dream was fulfilled. Now, the fulfillment of the dream was not necessarily just to have his brothers bow down to him, was to have him on the throne, to have him as prime minister, to be in that place where he could save his family and where he could save the people of Egypt. But the primary reason he was saving the people of Egypt was to save his family. And the reason to save his family was for the descendant hundreds of years later that you may have heard about. His name was Jesus. That's what God had in mind. Now, let's look at it in Romans before we finish today. You get anything out of this yet? Are you getting any points out of this? Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Joseph may have been a slave. He may have been cast into prison, but there's no condemnation. He did not sin. He did not do anything worthy of slavery or prison. No condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Even though Joseph, seemingly, his life is getting worse, in the Spirit, it was getting closer to the goal, closer to the dream. The law of the Spirit of life is completely different from the law of the natural world. For what law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, this is where we're coming. Verse 5. They that are in the flesh mind the things of the flesh. Joseph started out like that. Hey, guys. Hey, bro. You're going to bow down to me. I had a dream. You're going to bow down. What do you think about that, huh? Huh? I may be the runt of the litter, the youngest one, but you're going to bow down to me. Yeah, you may not like me. You may be plotting against me, but you're going to bow down to me. The law of the Spirit sets us free from ourselves. For they that are in the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They that are in the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now look at this. To be carnally or naturally minded is death. He could have given up at slavery. He could have given up at prison. He never gave up. He held on to that dream. He never gave up, and God did the rest. He did excellently in prison. He did excellently as a slave. He did not consider himself a slave nor a prisoner. He served as if serving unto God. You may have had a position, and you lost that position, and you had to start over. Do it as unto the Lord. Don't consider what you've lost, consider what you have. Don't consider what you don't have, consider what you do have. That's how Jesus sees things. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And here's the point. The carnal, the flesh, the natural mind is enmity against God. There is a struggle going on even inside our mind. Our mind is struggling with God, with the promises of God, with the presence of God, with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. Our mind struggles against the things of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and it never can be. So they that are in the natural cannot please God. But you are not in the natural, but in the Spirit. So be it if that Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Jesus from the dead shall make you alive to the things of God. Give you insight and revelation, which strengthens us to stand when the circumstances look like they're fighting against the dream. It may be other people's jealousy. It may be other people wanting to have power over us. It may be in the demonic realm. It may be our own mind saying, man, you went from bad to worse. You think it was bad before, now it's worse. But the Spirit of God gives you revelation into the plan of God that you can say, no, I'm standing on the rock. My feet will not slide. My house will not go down, no matter how hard the wind blows or the waves beat, because I'm a doer of the word of God. He is a rewarder of them who dutifully, faithfully seek him. I'm going to keep my mind stayed upon him, and I will be in that perfect peace knowing he's given me a dream. I'm going to achieve the dream. He is working out the details. This is how we overcome struggles. Now, I thought to look at Jacob a little bit, but I'm not going to. Just going to tangentially mention him. Remember when he had that struggle with the angel? Struggling. And the angel touched his thigh, and it was out of joint, and he limped. You see, in the natural, we may limp. We may not be as smart as others. We may not be as wealthy as others. We may not have as much as others. But in the spirit, that's where it counts. If we can remain in the Spirit of God, walk by the Spirit, not by the natural, receive direction and revelation by the Spirit, not just our five senses of our brains, being like Jesus, expecting a miracle, not expecting defeat, not expecting breakdown, not expecting a tragedy, expecting a miracle and talking like that. We will overcome every struggle. No matter what its source, we'll overcome it. Small ones, big ones, medium ones. Demonic, natural, people, ourselves. Every day we struggle, but every day we have the promise of being more than a conqueror.
Are you going through any struggles? Well, we all do, don't we? But God has given us not only promises in the Word of God and examples in the Word of God, but he's given us tools in the Word of God, the Bible. Tools that help us to get through the struggles in life, whether the struggles come within our own heart or own mind, or from people around us. You know, at Real Life Church, we want to pray with you. We'd love for you to come. And as we agree in prayer, miracles take place. You can come in person on 7 o'clock on Thursday evening or 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning, or you can come online. You know, our online services are live 4 times a week, not only Sunday morning, 9:30 in the morning, but Sunday evening at 7, Tuesday evening at 7, and Thursday evening at 7. You can come and be a part of the church without even leaving your home, either through your phone or through your computer. And to access our online services, go to www.amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. You can also link up from our website, pastorfrank.com. That's www.pastorfrank.com. Well, God bless you, and we are praying for you that you get through all struggles victoriously in Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.